Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Something I've been noticing lately is certain stories, they seem too insane to be true. And I think that with Andrew Cuomo, every time we see him doing these press conferences, they're almost so insane. The way he's asking himself questions and then answering questions about what constitutes sexual harassment and killing grandmothers. And it just feels almost like a parody now. But it's still very real and it's still very important. And if you picked up a copy of the New York Post today, you would see that Janice Dean had an amazing piece because it finally was revealed how much money Andrew Cuomo made. Now, you guys know Janice Dean from Fox News. She's also the best-selling author of Mostly Sunny. I'm sure it sold a lot more copies than Andrew Cuomo. And she's joining us now. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Janice.
One thing's for sure, I've never received $5 million for a book.
I think it comes out to $100 a book, Janice. Can you believe that?
I mean, when I saw that he was writing a book in the summer, I thought it was a joke. I really thought it was one of those satire headlines. Governor Cuomo decides to write a book about his great leadership while thousands upon thousands of New Yorkers died. It was incredible to me. And now we've got the total number of the payout, over $5 million, which is insanity to me. I don't even know what to say anymore, Grace. It's just gotten to the point of no return.
I totally agree. And I agree about the Babylon Bee thing. I mean, when he was winning Emmy Awards, it all just seemed so surreal. But I like how you point out that he's getting all of this money for this book, and then meanwhile, people are dying all around him. He doesn't take any responsibility. And in fact, Janice, I've had this cut, and I haven't had you on the show in a while. Janice was actually my first guest I ever had on the show. And I had this cut that I heard a few weeks ago, and I thought, damn, I would love to get Janice's reaction on this. Let's play it, and then we'll hear what you have to say.
Who are the groups we're targeting on the vaccination? Youthful? And the doubtful. And there is an attitude that they'll be fine. Why should they take the vaccine? Maybe you will get a long haul syndrome that we're not really sure what it is yet, but a lingering consequence of COVID. Or maybe you go home and kiss your grandmother and wind up killing your grandmother.
Now, out of all the people who should not be talking about killing grandmothers, Janice, I would assume he's at the top of the list.
Right. He knows how to do that well, right? I mean, over 15,000 seniors died in elder care facilities, and his administration actively tried to cover up for months. And to the great lengths that they went to try to cover up those numbers, it's quite astonishing. I think it's illegal. And the timeline of when he was trying to get this book deal corresponds with the time that he was actively trying to downplay the nursing home deaths. So if that's not a cover-up and injustice and obstruction of justice, I'm not sure what is.
Yeah, and there's a couple of elements that you bring up in this piece, which, by the way, everyone, I'm going to tweet it out from my account. It's on the New York Post today. You can't really miss it. It's all over the news as well. But there's a few different elements of this. One is that he used a lot of his employees to help him write the book. And I mean, I think most people would assume that his employees were not doing that out of the kindness of their heart. They weren't doing charitable work, you know, doing extra time working on this American crisis leadership lessons from the COVID-19 pandemic book. But then the other element is that he said he was going to give a lot of this money to charity. Have we heard anything about that, Janice?
Apparently, I think he gave $500,000 to the United Way, and then the rest of it he put in a trust for his three daughters. But I think the money needs to go to the victims of the families that died. He's making money off the deaths of New Yorkers. And I brought up the Son of Sam law, which is a law that says that criminals cannot profit off of their crimes, including writing books or making movie deals. And in my mind, the fact that this governor had a hand in killing thousands of elderly, that makes him, you know, guilty of a crime and profiting off of it.
No, you're absolutely right. And something I started to notice, especially when the and you've pointed this out before, Janice, when the sexual harassment allegations started to come out, the media finally felt like they had the okay from the rest of the left to go after him. They didn't want to go after him with the nursing home scandals because I think they knew there were other governors who probably had been doing similar things. But the problem here is that he used state employees to help him write the book. He profited off of this. And then what I've started to notice based off these articles is that a lot of people are using this book now as a timeline. It kind of gives you a blueprint of just how much he was trying to cover this stuff up.
Absolutely. And it should be used. His words should be used against him in a court of law and all of the investigations that are happening. Federal investigation, FBI investigation, and a DOJ investigation. And that's not including the Me Too stuff that's also going on.
Absolutely. And Janice, another thing I want to say, and I know you tell this story all the time, and I'm sure it's hard for you to keep telling it. It's heartbreaking. But in case people don't know, you have a very personal connection to this scandal, to this nursing home scandal. Tell people a little bit about that.
Well, my husband lost both of his parents in separate elder care facilities. We lost his dad in late March. Didn't even know he had COVID till we saw the death certificate. Weren't able to see him. We were in lockdown, didn't have last rites, wakes, or funerals. And then we lost his mom about 2 weeks later. She got sick in her assisted living residence, was transported to the hospital where they diagnosed her, and she died in the hospital. And my husband was given a call the next day saying, well, you can come see your mom through glass, through a window after she had died. So, you know, the fact that we weren't able to mourn them properly and also never seeing the report about the March 25th order and holding the governor accountable for some of these deadly decisions, that's why I became vocal. The fact that, you know, all of these big networks and big names in news were never covering the story. Instead, they were having this governor on to talk about his great leadership skills. So that's why I became vocal over a year ago. I haven't really stopped. I long for the day where I don't have to do this anymore. But until he's still in power and until other people, you know, join the chorus, I'm going to have to keep doing this.
And a lot of the mainstream media acted so surprised that he was this bully and that, you know, then de Blasio came out and said, oh, yeah, this is typical of him to start bullying people. But as someone who's been watching you fight this battle, he was bullying you from the outset of this. He was saying things like, oh, she's not accurate except for maybe on the weather. I mean, he had a lot of, or maybe it was one of his aides who said that, but he had a lot of people in his camp who were disrespecting you from the very beginning.
Oh, definitely. And his administration, you know, the oldest tricks in the book are, you know, these burner accounts for Governor Cuomo that come after me on a daily basis and my family. So, you know, that's their whole thing. He's a guy that enjoys disparaging people, making them feel bad, you know, making them feel small. And the power trip that he's been on over these last, you know, three terms continues, and he does it, and all of the people around him do it. But hopefully people are starting to wake up to that, although I will tell you that I am so discouraged by Albany lawmakers who continue to, you know, be spineless, and this impeachment nonsense is just theater. They're too scared to even, you know, go against him. But I am hearing in Washington that they really do want him to go away, but he continues to just sort of hang out because he really truly believes in his mind that he is untouchable.
Well, yeah, and I've been noticing that, Janice. I'm kind of amazed that he doesn't have someone who pulls him aside and says, you got to stop giving these pressers, because he goes out there and he's almost like Michael Scott from The Office. He starts going off the cuff and asking himself questions and then answering them. And I'm just thinking, this is a legal disaster for his lawyers. They must be saying to themselves, why won't he shut up?
he is the gift that keeps on giving. And as much as it infuriates me when he's on TV every day there's a new thing that he talks about that keeps him in the news. So, you know, yes, if I'm his lawyer, I'm saying to him, you need to stop talking. But from my perspective is keep talking, Governor. And, you know, the fact that I'm so angry about this book, I have to remind myself that it could be the biggest gift we have ever been given. You know, to have this timeline that you said and this document of lies that truly can be used against him in a court of law, you know, maybe it is the biggest gift that he wrote this and got money for it.
No, I absolutely agree. I actually remember I was reading a story, I think it was in the Washington Post, and they kept referencing his book and the timeline. And I brought the article into Howie and I said, I think this guy has just written his own demise because he couldn't help himself. He was so greedy and so egotistical that he wrote everything down. I mean, it's really a dream come true that we have it all there. And for only now, I bet on Amazon, you could get it for like $5 for a cheap price, Janice.
Well, I mean, listen, I think it deserves to be buried in a grave in itself for his book. But we'll just, you know, we'll continue to keep shouting as long as we have to. But I have to hope that the investigations that are happening will prevail and they will be on the side of justice and the side of the angels, which I think, you know, are the things that give me strength every day. I believe my in-laws are helping me, you know, use my voice on behalf of others that just don't have one.
Janice Dean, author of Make Your Own Sunshine, and she's really a ray of sunshine, and she's brought so much truth to this story, and she's really been a breath of fresh air for people who felt like they were screaming into the void and saying, this is a bad guy, and finally, you know, the truth is being exposed. We thank you so much for all your hard work, Janice. People can follow Janice on Twitter, at Janice Dean. They can read her stuff at the New York Post. Obviously, watch her on Fox News. Thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you so much, Grace.
Well, guys, when we get back, I'm going to open up the phone lines again, hear your thoughts on this. We have a lot more to get to. We actually have a New York Times puff piece. This isn't similar to the last one. The last one was really amazing. That was where they said that Biden, you know, he's so hyper-focused on the details. But this one is, it's up there. It's pretty good. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
I was just thinking to myself, we just spoke with Janice Dean from Fox News about her story in the New York Post today. It's on the cover, Blood Money, featuring Andrew Cuomo, of course. And I was just thinking, he was at one point, his name was being floated for attorney general. And then I had to really remind myself, whoa, 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 Nelly. At one point, he was going to be our president. He was walking around the streets with that leather bomber jacket on, and the press was just drooling. They had the hard eyes. They're like, va-voom, va-voom. Andrew Cuomo, Mr. President. They couldn't get enough.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
They could not get enough of this dude. And thank the Lord that people started speaking out and that the truth has started to come out. Can you imagine, though? I was talking to somebody this weekend about it. It's easy, the more you hear of a story, to kind of get desensitized to the details. But I can't imagine this idea, and Jared, I might have this wrong, but that's what I think happened, so please correct me. If you had a parent, an elderly parent, in a nursing home during this COVID thing, and you started hearing word that a lot of people were dying and that, you know, the nursing homes, let's say Holyoke, it wasn't going well, they weren't doing a great job with it, you couldn't take your parent out, right? You couldn't say, no, I want my mom to come with me today. That was not an option.
Yes. Well, it might have been, but they made it very difficult because of the COVID rules, quote unquote. Yes.
Because that's like a horror movie.
Unless you're Rachel Levine, then you can take your mom or dad out all you want.
It's just that part of it to me will never, I can't imagine it. I feel like if that were me, I would be at the door like a crazy woman.
Yep.
It's just horrible. Horrible, horrible. All right. I do want to move on here, though, a little bit to some more masking news. And I'm going to save the New York Times puff piece about Biden. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Biden administration, they just show up every day and they just do their jobs. Their jobs involve doing nothing with the Colonial Pipeline hackers, doing nothing as far as the Middle East is concerned. And, you know, telling you not to worry about overheating, or as us credulous boomer rubes often call it, inflation. That's just some of the things the Biden administration does every day. Now, before we get to that, there's been a lot of talk recently about what we're going to do if fully vaccinated people can go into stores without masks on, then what are we going to do about the people who lie? What about the people who say they've been vaccinated? And I know it sounds ridiculous because it's like, well, don't worry about it. If you're vaccinated, you're fine. Don't, you know, mind your business. Grace Curley's number one rule, mind your business. But there are some people who don't like to mind their own business. And a good example of a person like this would be a person who gets in fights with fat tire bikers. You know, a person who once threatened to throw someone down the stairs. He's not exactly an expert in minding his own business, but he is now an expert on vaccines. Speaking of Andrew Cuomo, I would be remiss if I did not play the cut today from his younger brother, Fredo. This is Fredo Cuomo talking to us yet again about the vaccine. Cut 12.
See, it's easy to see who is wearing a mask, right? Because either you got it or you don't. But if you don't have one on, how would you ever know if the person is vaccinated? I guess they could tell you. Would you believe them? So will all the unvaccinated just ditch their masks now? Because no one's going to be able to tell the difference. Now, where I live, I saw a lot fewer masks, even in stores where a mask is still required. All those folks vaccinated seem like well over the half of the percentage that is supposedly fully vaccinated in New York, where I live. Did the CDC just make it more or less likely that people will get immunized? Free beer, donuts. Maybe it's not going to be enough to lure Americans to get a shot if they don't feel they need it.
Ho, 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 ho. Back it up, Fredo. You were the guy who went to your second home when I think you were still COVID positive and got in a fight with a guy because he didn't want to put your mask on. You were the guy. I'm sorry. I got an email yesterday that sometimes I yell too loud. So let me lower the volume here. You were the guy whose building had to warn him that he couldn't be walking around sans mask because they were getting so many complaints about it. And now you're the guy who's worried about whether or not Grace Curley is lying when she goes in without a mask on. Let's take a little bit of this energy. Let's take a little bit of this worrying and thinking, and let's direct it towards, I have an idea. Let's direct it towards Andrew Cuomo. Let's direct it towards you, big bro. Let's call up mom or ma and say, ma, we got to get Andy under control. Don't worry about me wearing a mask. Okay, Chris, you got enough on your plate right now. You got plenty on your plate. We'll be back with the New York Times puff piece and actually more Chris Cuomo, if you can believe it. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And I don't want some jackass, loser, fat tire biker to be able to pull over and get in my face and in my space.
And yet, Chris Cuomo wants to be able to get in your face and your space and ask you, have you been fully vaxxed or are you lying to me? This is actually way more of a common worry among liberals than I even expected. I saw a lot of these comments beneath the CDC announcement where people were like, the honor system doesn't work in America. How are we going to know? How? I'm like, oh my God. And you know what that brings us to, Jared? Number one rule, the Grace Curley Show, is mind your business. But number two, get some hobbies. That's always good advice for people. And I need that advice too. Sometimes I need a new hobby. But if you're commenting on the CDC Instagram that you don't trust whether or not people got vaccinated, you need to find some hobbies. And I have some suggestions. Kamala Harris likes to crochet. Joe Biden likes to, what?
Sniff children's hair.
No, that, yeah, I don't recommend that hobby. We'll say trains. I think he's a big train guy.
Model trains.
So there's all sorts of hobbies, but worrying about whether or not someone's telling you the truth, like, what do they want to do? Set up lie detector tests? What is this? Meet the parents?
Yes.
We're going to say
exactly what they want.
Tell us the truth. Did you get vaccinated? It's like, just don't worry about it. It's none of your business. When do we start asking people that? I've had so many people ask me that over the last week. And it's like, I don't really care because I'm not a private person. So in case you guys haven't noticed. But I could imagine that for some people, that's very bothersome. That people are suddenly saying, have you been vaccinated? Like, that's your personal medical information, let alone if it's Chris Cuomo. And you're like, oh, Chris, when did you get here?
So, yeah, here's the thing about the vaccination thing is, if your vaccination requires me to also get vaccinated, your vaccination doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
right there,
if you're vaccinated, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it really is. They've been functioning off of this guilt, you know, this you're going to kill grandma, or, you know, it's not about you. It's about me. And, you know, be good to your neighbor. And it's all garbage. It's all been garbage this whole time. We should have protected the vulnerable, protected the old people. We didn't. Especially if you were in states like New York or Massachusetts. But to try to sit down these teenagers who just want to hang out with their friends and watch a Bruins game and be like, you know why you need to do this? Because you will live with the guilt forever of killing your grandmother. Like, Lord help us. It's psychological strangeness up in here. All right, and before I get to the Chris Cuomo cut, which I know you guys are just dying to hear, today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to follinsbyinn.com to get your room and get it today, because they're going to fill up really quickly, especially for the summer. So make sure you hop on that today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who will be the last mask standing? Will it be Mika Brzezinski, who says that to follow the science, sometimes you still have to wear a mask? Is it former pillow magnate David Hogg, who says he's
going to... Pillow King
says he's going to continue to do that? Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who says she will keep wearing the mask? Governor Phil Murphy, who I think wants everybody to wear a mask? Or Joy Reid, who wears masks while jogging?
Two masks.
And Dr. Gupta, I am among the fully vaccinated, joined Team Pfizer, and I did go jogging today in the park, and I did, this was the mask that I wore with a doctor's mask under it.
I'm saying Joy Reid. I mean, the level of commitment, she said she still wears one, I think, around her friends and family, something crazy like that. Joy Reid is a real believer. I'm going with Joy.
Joy is in the lead at 35%. Governor Phil Murphy is second, 28%. And in third place, 20% for Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
No, Lori Lightfoot, I don't think so. I mean, she couldn't even hold off for a couple weeks on getting a haircut. She does not have a strong resolve for this kind of stuff, unfortunately. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. What's up?
So I do estimates all around New England, and a lot of people have been asking me if I've been vaccinated. I ask, I'm wearing a mask. I'm like, have you been? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, then don't worry about me. I actually got thrown off of a job the other day because I wouldn't answer the question if I've been vaccinated. Number two, stay away from people driving that wear a mask. It's a good indication they don't know how to drive when you see them wearing a mask with the windows up driving by themselves. And number three, I just read on Gab an hour ago.
Dave, what's number three? You just cut out.
Colonial Pipeline?
Yeah.
The communication and the network is down again.
No, really? Is that breaking news? I haven't seen that yet. I'm watching the news right now on TV. I haven't seen that. Dave, thank you for the call. I like that. I like that method. Have you been vaccinated? And then you just say, well, have you? And then they say yes. And you say, good. Then we don't need to worry.
Yes. The Colonial Pipeline gas shippers say communication system is down. That was as of 30 minutes ago.
Well, it's private sector, so they should be able to figure it out.
And they say their current IT problems are not related to ransomware.
Hmm.
Wink, wink.
It's not the Russian hackers. Could it be Joy Reid's time-traveling hacker? I don't know. Something...
Was the pipeline vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a great question. These are the things we need to know.
Is this techno-COVID?
Jared, even if the pipeline says it was vaccinated, how can we trust it?
How can you know?
I need to see your medical information, please. Your records. Papers, please. All right, let's go again to the calls, and then I really do want to play this Chris Cuomo cut. Mark, go ahead. You're next with Grace.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much. The way I handle it, I've had a couple of times where people ask if I've been vaccinated, and I said, before I answer that, let me ask you a question. Are you sexually active? Have you, when they say yes, I'll say, have you been tested for AIDS yet?
Wow, people. See, my whole thing is Now, I don't want to give my vaccination status out because I don't need anybody in my business. But I'm more of a path of least resistance, you know, whatever that means, whether it means saying no or yes or whatever. I don't want to get involved in going back and forth down this road asking people if they're sexually active.
After being called Neanderthals and every name under the book in science deniers for a year, I can understand how you're like, all right, let's have a little back and forth here. Let me take a little, not a pound of flesh, maybe like an ounce of flesh.
Yeah. But whenever you bring up people's sexual history, then it kind of can go down. Strange place. I mean, you're doing your grocery shopping.
Yeah, I don't know that's the road I would have gone down. I might have taken a different fork, but...
I like the first guys. Have you been vaccinated? You know, that's a little bit more, you know, we're keeping it on the same level here. All right, so this is an interesting take. And of course, it comes from CNN. I'm using interesting. That's the nicest word I can think of. They have a new theory here. This guy's name is Harry Enten from CNN. And... I hadn't heard this one yet. I think it's going to become very popular because, you know, there's a lot of talk about people not going back to work. And some of the theories are because there's millions of jobs opening. In fact, I think it's a record high for the amount of jobs we have open and no one's going back. There's been some people have read between the lines here and said, well, it's because people are making more on unemployment. Joe Biden, you know, he got the jobs report, which was, I think, 266,000. They expected a million. So slight disappointment. Some might call it a huge miss. I think it was the biggest miss since 1998 as far as jobs reports go. But again, Joe Biden said he saw no evidence that there's any correlation. You know, he saw the report, which is the evidence, but he still saw no evidence. But this guy... Harry Enten from CNN, he's telling Chris Cuomo a new theory about why people don't want to go back to work. And I got to say, God bless these people, because like I said earlier, it's not that they think we're stupid. It's that they think we're really stupid. Cut 13.
They're the people who are out on the front lines who are being put in danger, and they already don't feel that they're safe at work. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying to them, well, you know what? We're going to allow some people in there who might not be vaccinated, and they might not need to wear a mask. So, you know, when you're talking about the larger picture, right, and you're seeing that people don't necessarily want to go back to work who are in the lower income sectors, this is just one more reason for them not to want to go back to work because they just don't feel safe.
So people, now that the mask mandates have been lifted, people aren't going to go back to work because they don't feel safe. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. And you're going to keep hearing this from now on. Like, companies are trying to, they're going to try to get people back in the offices because, you know, maybe you believe this, maybe you don't, but there's certain bosses who think you're more productive when you're in the office and you're with other people. Some businesses really do run on a team kind of environment. But you're going to start hearing this from a lot of people. Oh, I don't feel safe. And it's okay to just say, listen, I really like working from home. But this whole I don't feel safe thing when there's a vaccine, it's like, well, do you feel, have you ever felt safe? The world's a risky place.
I love the double standard of these people saying that, well, if you refuse to get the vaccine, your employer should be able to fire you. You shouldn't have to go to the office and make other people feel unsafe. Well, okay, then if you don't want to return to the office because you feel unsafe, why can't they be fired? Why do we have to accommodate those people and not accommodate the other people?
Well, I also just keep saying, can you imagine if this was a conversation about the children of illegal immigrants who were not vaccinated for, let's say, measles? I mean, Howie talks about this all the time. There was one point where measles, they weren't around anymore. They were gone. They've since made a comeback, but you could never say that. You could never say, oh, if you're not vaccinated for XYZ, you can't come into work. I mean, that was kind of a no-go for a while. And now that because they assume the people who aren't going to get vaccinated, and this assumption I think is off too, because I know a lot of Trump supporters, and especially all the older ones are all vaccinated. I mean, it was a free vaccine. They took it. Howie Carr is vaccinated. Like, I don't get where this idea comes from that the Mountain Dew drinkers, which is me, by the way, I consider myself part of that category, all of us credulous boomer rube bitter clingers are not going to get the vaccine. That doesn't even really make sense. But then if it were any other group that they thought was being resistant to the vaccine, they would never say stuff like this. They would never treat those people like unwashed boat people. They would never shun us and say, oh, you can't come back to work if you don't get the vaccine. But it's only because they assume it's, you know, white, old, male Trump supporters that they're talking like this. We should add this guy to the list, the poll question, because he, you know what, though? He doesn't have a mask on when he's giving this whole speech about how unsafe people feel. That's the part that kind of makes me sad. You know, if you really feel this way, you gotta practice what you preach, Harry. Spring is in the air. Imagine the smell of a freshly mowed lawn, buds on trees, and the thoughts that summer is on its way. Memorial Day is coming up very soon. It's going to be beautiful. And after a long, dreary, and I want to add this in here, depressing winter, it is so nice to breathe in the fresh air, enjoy yourself, smile, walk around. There's no better place to do all of this than the Follansbee Inn on the shores of Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's my favorite lakeside getaway. It's my family's favorite lakeside getaway. I've told so many people about the Follansbee Inn. My parents are going up soon with their friends. My sister has gone. My fiance and I have gone. We absolutely love it there. Dennis, the innkeeper. First of all, nicest guy. The inn itself is a beautiful piece of property. It's a beautiful building. You get your own private bathroom. But like always, what steals the show is the food. I mean, in my book, food, you know, reigns supreme. Dennis makes an incredible breakfast. Every single morning, it's granola, it's yogurt, it's waffles, it's sausage, it's eggs benedict, it's fresh coffee, everything. My mouth is watering just talking about it. I can't say enough about this place. It's wonderful. You just walking around, if you love to walk, that's, you know, I was talking about hobbies earlier. It's not the coolest hobby, but I really like walking. And there's nothing better than walking in a beautiful spot around a lake with beautiful houses to look at. And that's all at the Follansbee Inn. So go to follansbeein.com and book now because you deserve it. That's follansbeein.com. And it's spelled Follansbee. We will take your calls on the other side. And I'm finally going to deliver on the puff piece of the day. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
You guys know I love a little Dolly Parton, especially on a Tuesday, working 9 to 5. All right, so there's a piece right now in the New York Times, and they've really been churning out absolute fluff. It is the fluff factory at the New York Times, and oh no, no, Biden's talking. Do we have to take it? Let's wait and see what. Let's wait and see what we get. I can't, Jared. I can't right now. Let's just wait. We'll see what he comes up with. Okay. You know what? No, I can't resist. Go ahead. Take him.
And Ange, I want to thank Angela. We were talking backstage. Yeah. On the other side of the truck. And I want to thank her very much for being so gracious. And Rory, I know you're new to the labor movement, but you're doing a pretty good job. Where is Rory? Rory, thank you, pal.
Big laughs.
Thank you.
It's like a soundtrack and, for Full House.
And everyone at the UAW for being the best auto workers in the world. You know, and I want to thank Bill Ford and Jim Farley for hosting us and investing in our workers and in our country. We're at a great inflection point in American history. How we handle the next 4 to 10 years is going to determine where we're going to be 30, 40, 50 years from now. It's one of those moments in American history. This is an incredible facility. Representative Debbie Dingell, another dear friend. I know John's looking down and he's saying, we're finally getting it done, huh? You're getting it done. Debbie, you're a... And Representative Dan Kildee is a good friend. Representative Brenda Lawrence. And by the way, be careful what you say to Representative Slotkin. She knows more than you. They may be watching you.
Okay, hold on. We're going to get all these sound cuts on the other side. Who are these people? Are these real people laughing like this? Do they have a laugh sign behind him? They're like this. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say that to the VIPs today. I'm going to say, you better give Howie Carr the Joe Biden treatment and give him big time laughs. Okay, none of those. We want belly laughs. We want chuckling. We want guffawing. Well, I don't even understand what they're laughing at. He's not even saying anything funny.
He's talking about people in their government. He's naming names. I don't know what's funny about that. Dingell's kind of a funny name. I get that. But beyond that.
This is my producer, Jared Diglio. Good one. Nice one, Grace. This is the warmest crowd I've ever seen. All right, let's take a little bit more.
I was sitting one day in the Oval with Barack Obama, when I was vice president. And he looked at me like he was just something off the hook. He said, by the way, I want you to go fix Detroit. I said, say that again. What am I going to do? He said, you can get anybody in the government to go with you. You just do it. First call I made was this guy. You brought it off his knees. You brought it back. You're a great mayor and you're a great friend. You got a lot of courage.
Did he fix Detroit?
Clearly he fixed Detroit.
Oh, cool. Okay, spoiler alert for that story.
Detroit is awesome again, ladies and gentlemen.
Why do I doubt that Barack Obama sent him on that mission? The same guy who told him not to, you know, try to get Osama bin Laden. He's like, go fix Detroit.
Take him to Detroit.
He was probably like, Joe, have a cup of ice cream and just please stop talking. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.